This is Primetime on KTEP, a program that focuses on economic development, mobility, security, and quality of life issues in El Paso and surrounding areas.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayu, Thunderbird Management Consulting, and as a part of our continuing series of interviews with our new city council, we have the honor today to have with us Mayor Renard Johnson. Mayor Johnson, welcome to El Paso Primetime. Thank you for taking the time from your hectic schedule to join us and have this candid conversation.
Well, thank you for having me, Richard, and it's good to be back in these studios. I'm going to start off with sharing something that your audience, most people don't know. I spent probably 2 years in that room right across from us. I was a DJ here while I was at the University of Texas at El Paso. So KTEP, you know, I had my own show here when I was a student back in the 80s. So it's good to be back at KTEP.
Okay, wait a minute. I didn't know that either.
Breaking news.
So do you remember what the show was called?
The show's name was Custom Tracks on 88.5 FM, and KTEP.
So I'll be darned.
Look at
that. So what kind of music did you play?
We played R&B and oldies, and it was me and a guy by the name of Chaz Pratt and my little brother Kevin Johnson. So while I was a student here, we had a show that did that, and I spent many times in that room. And in fact, when I was walking in and I saw where I used to keep my records and everything, so this is bringing back some memories from the 80s.
This is incredible. And so you don't know this, but Paul's our producer.
Right.
Paul, you've been asking me, who do I want to replace me on this show when I die? He's sitting right here.
Hey, Paul, don't believe that one.
Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. So we have, as you know, only 30 minutes, and it goes by very quickly. So if we could plunge right into our questions.
Let's go. I'm ready.
And be as candid and forthright as you choose to be with me.
I am ready.
Okay. So during your campaign, you visited many of the neighborhoods across our community and had the opportunity to speak with voters and to hear their concerns and their hopes for our community. What did you learn from those conversations?
You know, I can tell you that, first of all, campaigning is very difficult to do. And you knock on literally thousands of doors and you walk hundreds of miles. And it's the best way to be in touch with your community. It's the best way for me to learn what really people are thinking about El Paso and what they want done. So when I was out there campaigning, I heard a number of things. But some of the things that resonated and always went right to the top, and I'm not going to put them in any order of 1, 2, 3, or 4, but for sure taxes was at the top, you know. So as you know, El Paso has some of the highest taxes in the state of Texas. We are one of the highest taxes in the nation.
Property taxes.
Property taxes. And people in El Paso are saying, you know, what do we have to show for our high property taxes? So that one certainly resonated real high, and it resonates with me too, because if you look at here in El Paso, our residential tax base, they're paying about 70% of the tax bill. 30% of that is commercial. You go to a city like Austin, it's just the opposite. It's 70% commercial, 30% residential. So we have to start flipping that tax base here in our city. In addition to that, we talked about quality of life. El Paso wants, you know, they want more quality of life amenities. They want more farmers markets. They want more live entertainment. They want a number of things in the area of live entertainment. But, you know, quality of life, Richard, is a number of things. It's also fixing the potholes. So infrastructure, you know, you talk about when you leave your home, when you go down your sidewalk, you get in your car, all of that, believe it or not, is quality of life, you know, how well the streets are maintained. So heard quite a bit of that as well. And then one of the other things that always resonated to the top was public safety. The people were really concerned about, you know, how safe we are as a community. And I want your listeners to know that El Paso is still one of the safest cities in the nation. So those are the things that I heard when I was knocking on doors.
Thank you for sharing that. And by the way, a little kudo to our dear friend, Chief Macias.
Yeah.
Our police department's among the best in the nation.
Absolutely.
And you articulated that we're still one of the safest cities, which we are.
Yes.
And it's because of that police department and the team that worked there.
Yes.
But we also need to continue to provide them funding so they can expand to meet the growing needs of our community. Even if our population right now is not expanding, what's happening is, as you know, We have all this growth in the outer areas, which means we have to be able to serve all those outer areas as well.
Yeah. And Richard, you bring up another good point. You know, we have to make sure that we continue to support our men and women in uniform, specifically our public safety officers, because as we expand and as we grow as a community, they have stayed kind of flat. They have about 1,100 officers. They've been the same since 2009, so they haven't really gone up. We're excited because that in the current police academies, we have about 80 graduates that will come out of the academy in the next two classes. We just had a graduating class of 27 that I spoke at. The chief is also using technology as a force multiplier. So there's a number of great things that he's doing to help with the slacking of the resources that he has. But the declining police force is not just inherent to El Paso. It's across the nation. But we're doing what we can to make sure that we can make sure that we're safe, and we are safe. And you said it perfectly. Chief Pasillas is doing a fantastic job, and so are the men and women in uniform. So I'm super excited about the job they do.
Well, thank you, sir. So this is one of those sort of tricky questions.
I'll go. Here it comes.
No, it's not. Okay. I'm just teasing you. What have you experienced in your first 3 months in municipal government? You came from the private sector, never elected to public office before. So I just would like to hear from you candidly.
Yeah, you said it wasn't a trick question. Look at that. It's a great question. And I can tell you, and you'll relate to this because, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I come from the private sector. And the private sector, you know, moves at a different pace than probably a municipal government or our federal government. And coming into the city government, let me tell you what surprised me. What surprised me is how hard they're working at our city. They're working incredibly hard to do the right things for El Paso, move our city forward. What for me, though, being an entrepreneur, I'm used to making things happen real quick. And in city government, sometimes that can happen. So that's it's a little frustrating for me. But yeah. Nevertheless, they have reasons why they can't do it that way. And I understand it. But if we could break down processes and streamline and make city government more efficient, then I think we'll be a lot better as a community in doing things for the constituents of El Paso. But that was probably what surprised me the most. And the other thing was, I didn't know, it's a lot of work being a mayor.
Really?
Yeah. But those are the things that surprised me the most.
Yeah. It is. It's people think, okay, because city employees, for the most part, work a 5-day work week.
Yeah.
That must mean the mayor and council work a 5-day work week.
Yeah.
But that's not a reality, is it?
No.
It's a 7-day a week job.
It's a 7-day a week job, and it never turns off. And, you know, there's always something happening in a city the size of El Paso with, you know, over 800,000 people. And, like, for example, today, my day started. I was in a truck with the Environmental Services this morning at 6 a.m.
What were you doing with Environmental Services? Were you picking up trash?
I was picking up trash.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason I did that is, you know, you have to understand the various departments within the city in order to see what their challenges are and their opportunities. So it's important for me, just like when I was campaigning, I need to know what the issues are. And in order to understand the issues, you have to get out and touch them and fill them. So I was out picking up garbage this morning at 6 a.m.
Well, I think that's awesome. I'm not just placating you because you're the mayor. I think more of that kind of behavior by elected officials is warranted in all aspects of public service
in
our community. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I was joking, referring to my question, my next question to you is, how does your experience compare with what your expectations may have been?
Well, again, you know, I've never been a mayor, so I didn't know what to really, really expect. I thought, you know, a number of things. I said, you know, we're going to have city council meetings. You know, I'll be the person out there maybe cutting a few ribbons. That's all true, but then there's more. There's a lot to being a mayor of a city our size. You know, we're the sixth largest city in the state of Texas. We're number 22 in the United States. So we're a pretty nice sized city. It has to do with setting policy, working with the state legislators, your state delegations. It has to do with working with federal elected officials, both on the Congress side. So there's a lot of moving parts to being a mayor. It's exciting. It's fun. And, you know, you take two, three steps forward. You may take one backwards. But as long as we're moving forward is what excites me.
I'm glad to hear that. Because you've only been in office now roughly 3 months.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, because we're friends,
yes.
I kind of see more about what's going on with you in your office than maybe the average person on the street does.
Yeah.
And my only concern is, can you keep up the pace?
Yeah.
Because you're running at a pretty hard pace.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and anyone that knows me knows that, you know, if I set my sights on something, that I'm gonna give it my all. And I've learned that from my parents. You know, we're built like this. We work hard. And the pace is tough. The pace is tough. And I want to say I'm gonna sustain it because that's just what I do. I've built a number of successful companies, and being at the city is I can handle the pace. So the question is, can they keep up with me?
We're gonna start making you protein shakes every day.
I need it.
And creatine.
I need it. I need it all. Anything you give me, my friend, please bring it because I need it.
You bet. Well, you mentioned a little while ago the concerns of the taxpayers, the voters, and you mentioned taxes among those. So this kind of segues into it. You made economic development one of your top priorities during the campaign. What are some of the strategies you will be employing to help grow our economy and expand economic development efforts?
Yeah, and you touched on it again. In order to get your taxes under control, you have to go out and start recruiting industry to come to the region. And my job now is I'm hyper-focused. Our city council is hyper-focused on economic development. We all have the same vision and goals in place. Working with our city economic development, Borderplex, the chambers, and working together as a region and going out and trying to attract industry to come here is the only way I know how to do it. For example, yesterday we had a company in town that's looking to relocate here. And we had not only a briefing, then we had a dinner. We just finished our 380 agreement with Meta, which is a large data center that will be located here in El Paso. We just finished our 380 agreement with Snyder Electric, which makes transformers and things primarily for large users of electricity. So those are the things that we're super hyper-focused on getting done. We're going to have a number of big announcements coming up, Richard, of companies that we're recruiting and we're working on. So, and I think some of the strategies that you asked me, we got to make sure that the city is easy to work with. We got to make sure that the city is open for business. We got to make sure that when you need to go get a permit, that you can get a permit in a timely way. So those are the strategies and techniques that we've got to do. I want your listeners to know that El Paso is open for business. We want you to relocate here. You know, we are the Houston or the Dallas of the 80s. So we've got plenty of real estate. We've got fantastic weather. We've got a wonderful grid on our electricity. It doesn't go down. And we want you to be here in the community. And you'll see that when you come to El Paso.
Well, if I can offer one slight correction with respect, it's not my listeners. It's our listeners.
Okay, I'll take it.
And since you mentioned permitting, again, another little sort of kudo to Philip Etoway, who runs planning and inspections for the city.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He and his team are just amazing to work with.
Yeah. I hear Philip's name a number of times, and, you know, he's to be commended for the great work that he's doing.
Thank you. So in the realm of economic development, and you don't have to answer this completely, but which organizations, which individuals are you collaborating with in these efforts?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier, you know, we've got to work across with Borderplex. We've got to work across with our chambers. But there's one that I did leave out and I want to mention is I've had an opportunity now to go and meet with the Mayor Juarez on a number of occasions, Mayor Pérez Cuellar. And we have talked about ways of working together to really drive economic development. One of the things that we're going to start working on here soon is we're going to get out of the region and we're going to go to Washington, D.C. We're going to go to where the companies are and let them know that, you know, over $100 billion come from our southern border through El Paso. We need to figure out how to stop some of that and keep it here in El Paso. So he's going to be very active in the economic development recruitment of what we want to do. You also have Santa Teresa, Sunland Park, Las Cruces. I communicate often with the mayor of Las Cruces, and he's going through a very tough time right now.
He is, Mayor Enriquez.
Yeah,
he's a good man.
He's a great man, and you know, I my heart and our hearts go out to his community for the shooting that they just had. And you know, me and him have a great relationship, as do I with the Horizon Mayor, Socorro, San Elisario, Fabens, Canutillo. The list goes on and on. I hope I didn't leave any mayors out of that. But we are all working now, Richard, to bring industry to the region, because you know how close we are to Horizon now. So I have to make sure that we're working together, because their infrastructure is our infrastructure now.
Yeah, you and I grew up here. So I can still remember when someone would tell me, come on out to my house over the weekend for a party. Where do you live? Horizon City. And I'd say, I don't think I can drive that far. And now it's literally knocking on our door.
Yeah.
Is Socorro. We're becoming all interconnected. And yes. So we have to be able to find ways to work together on all of the issues that we're facing, transportation,
yes,
mobility, et cetera, et cetera. And you mentioned during your comments 380 agreements.
Yes.
So for our benefit of our audience, a Chapter 380 comes out of the state, and that relates to economic development incentives that communities can provide to companies to recruit them to their area.
Correct.
And we certainly, and of course the county has their counterpart, the 381 agreement.
Yes.
And so hopefully there's some interaction, I think there is, because I work with Karina Muscala quite a bit, between the county and the city,
yeah,
to tie the 380 and the 381 together.
Yeah, and thanks for mentioning that. You know, me and the county judge have a great relationship, and we have a great, great working relationship with our county. And we're working on a streamlined 380 agreement that will be used both in the county and in the city. So my hat's off to the county judge for the work that he's doing in the county and working with the city. And I think that type of collaboration and transparency is what we needed. And it's been really, really good to work with the county.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you for giving him those kudos. So if you would please share with our audience what some of your other priorities are during your first term. And we talked about economic development.
Yeah.
And by the way, we should tie that together with the earlier comments you made about taxes.
Yeah.
So what does that mean if you're successful in economic development recruitment to the community?
Yeah, I think when we're successful, it may not happen, it doesn't happen overnight, you know, and we're planting the seeds for the future and for our kids' future. We didn't just get into this mess overnight. It's going to take some time, but we have to figure out a way of lowering our taxes. And, you know, some critics say, well, you know, it can't be done, but other communities have done it. You know, at one point, we were the exact same size as Phoenix and Austin and San Antonio. So they figured it out. So in my view, my purview, I think it's a function of leadership, and it's a function of how to get it done. And again, we're laser focused on economic development, this new city council and myself. And I'm spending the majority of my time in this area. And I'm working with the state legislation and our state leaders that are there. And I've also got some friends there that I'm trying to recruit to come to El Paso to open up companies. So that is the way that we're going to get that done.
And so we can just articulate this to our audience related to your prior comments. The more companies that we recruit to our community, the more our tax base grows.
Correct.
Which means we have more revenues in the coffers to provide the services our citizens need without the need to unnecessarily increase their taxes, because we have a lot of issues that we've dealt with where things, this is an observation, I think most people notice, which is we've sort of put on the back burner a lot of critical infrastructure needs because we didn't have the funding for them. And so that kind of segues into my next question / comment to you. So recently, you did something I haven't seen done in El Paso, at least in my life, and that is you had an open meeting of city council and staff at the convention center specifically to speak about our budget. And I'm really curious. I was very busy the day I couldn't join you. I would like to hear from you what that experience was like for you all, because it's never happened before.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Richard, that you're saying that. And what we did and what we wanted to do is, since we have new 5 city council representatives and you have a new mayor, and we're getting ready to start our budget cycle in the summer, it was important for us to get out ahead of this and to get an understanding of what the city budget looks like. So we had a public meeting. We had all of the departments come in and present to city council. It was a working session, and my hat's off to our city manager, Ms. Dion Mack, who was our facilitator and helped put that together. She was the one that really spearheaded that. But it was an opportunity for us to ask any question we wanted. There was no question that was stupid or dumb, and it was very, very good for me as a new mayor and for and five new city council reps to get in there, get a better understanding of the budget. I don't think it's ever been done before, so we wanted to get that done, and it's going to make us better going through the budget process.
Well, speaking as a citizen taxpayer, I will offer this. That level of transparency is so welcome by the community. And I'm kudos to you and Dion for organizing this. I think that that kind of initiative is critical, especially as we go forward and we're trying to meet all these needs of the community. Monies have to come from somewhere.
Exactly.
The more the citizens of the community understand why money is coming from this pocket to go to this pocket, the more I hope understanding they'll be as to why we're doing certain things to get those needs met. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
So I added, as I told you before we went on the air, a question for you about the quote-unquote deck park.
Yeah.
A lot of conversations going on, have been for the last couple of years. As the new mayor, I'd like to hear your perspective on this.
Okay.
I'm sure our audience would too.
Yeah, so the deck park, which is an opportunity for El Paso to cover a section of our Interstate 10 that runs through downtown El Paso. And, you know, very similar to the Clyde Warren Park in Dallas, which happens to be the number one tourist destination in Dallas. They're on their talks about their second and third deck park. Austin, Texas is also talking about two or three particular deck parks. These are once in a generation opportunities for a community. And I am in favor of a deck park. But the caveat is, you know, we have to find the funding. It can't be all on the back of the taxpayers. And that's important to me. And I want the taxpayers to know that we need to, number one, know how much it costs. We need to know where the money is coming from. And we need to make sure that we're transparent with the public and say, if it's going to cost $200 million, that we don't wait and come back and say, oh, by the way, it's 300. So we need a really good feasibility study to be done to know the exact cost of this. But these are things, Richard, that change a community. Right now, we have a separation between our midtown or our uptown and our Segundo Barrio in South El Paso. This brings communities together. The kids that are in South El Paso deserve open space and parks just like the kids in Uptown. So this will provide green space to where everyone can come together, have a plaza, and get rid of a trench or get rid of a barrier that is in the middle of our downtown. I'm very bullish about it. I'm excited about it. It's a function of making sure we can get the funding. And why not El Paso? Other communities have it. And there's a lot of folks that are against it. And I would say for those that are against it, take the time to really educate yourself about what a deck plaza can do for a community. Take the time to go to Phoenix, Arizona and look at their deck park. Take the time to go to Dallas. Take the time to go to some of the other communities and really see how that transforms a community. Because on the top, we can have food trucks. We can have soccer fields. We can have more bike trails. We can have all of those great things for El Paso. And if we do it right, we can get it done.
Okay, well, we're running out of time, as we always do,
because
of an interesting guest like yourself with so much information to share. But I would just add one thought to that,
sure,
which is we also need to have a pretty good understanding of the cost to maintain that deck park,
yes,
because that's going to be critical, really.
Yeah.
We want it to always look good,
yes,
so that people are encouraged to go there.
Yeah.
So I wish you the very best in those endeavors. And I guess the last thought, since you serve on the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, because the study still has to be done, do you expect any delays in getting that section of I-10 moving forward for the desperately needed rebuilding as a result of this?
I don't see. So TxDOT is going to do the expansion, you know, as you know, whether we want that or not. It's a function of now, can we afford to get the pillars put in place to hold the deck park that's going to go on top? I think TxDOT may be a few months delayed there on getting started, but you know, they're doing their environmental studies. They're doing a number of things now. So I think we're going to be right on track with TxDOT to get things moving. So I don't see any major delays. It's going to happen.
So last question.
Sure.
A lot of people are listening to the show and are fans of yours. Yeah. And they want to be able to communicate with your office. How do they communicate with your office?
Yeah, the easiest way is to send us an email at mayor@elpasotexas.gov. And that goes right into our office. And thanks for mentioning that, too, because the folks that are in my office, I've told them when we were hiring that being customer service is paramount. So we'll make sure we get back to you. And if they don't, and you see me around, just say they didn't get back to you, so I'll know. But I want to make sure we get back to our constituents. I want to make sure we get back to the citizens of El Paso because it's important to me.
Closing thought.
My closing thoughts are these are some good times for the region. These are some good times for El Paso. You know, I can see a community that has so much more quality of life and so many additional amenities to offer. And I want to thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for inviting me to be on the podcast, because it's important for me to connect with the listeners and your folks that are out there that are listening today. And if there's anything that I could do as a mayor, please reach out to the office.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. For those of you who might have tuned in a few minutes late, we are interviewing Mayor Renard Johnson with his thoughts, his views, his aspirations and goals for our community. And we thank you again, Mayor Johnson, for joining us today. For those of you who are regular listeners, you know that my reminder to you is that you're listening to KTEP, your NPR station for the Southwest. And we are a nonprofit radio station. We rely on the contributions and generosity of our members. You can become a member so easily by simply going to ktep.org and clicking on the donate button. And you can, as I, become a sustaining member by simply committing your credit card or your bank account for regular monthly withdrawals to help continue to support the initiatives here at KTEP. And with that, we will thank you again, Mayor Johnson.
My pleasure, and thank you.
And we tell our audience, have a wonderful Saturday afternoon. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. Views expressed by the host and guest don't necessarily reflect those of KTEP. For inquiries about our public affairs programming, email ktep@utep.edu. Richard Dayoub appears courtesy of Thunderbird Consulting. The producer and editor is Daisy Morales. The show is recorded at the Communication Department at the University of Texas at El Paso. To learn more about the program or to listen to past episodes, visit ktep.org.